anything I say, yes, is all to myself. Mainly because if I say something and you feel like I'm stepping on your toes, I want you to know I'm just talking to myself. So if your toes are getting stepped on, it isn't me, it's him. So take it to, what is it? Take it to Jesus. One of the things that I always am amazed and blessed and astounded and encouraged with is when God just brings every single thing in a service to the point he wants to make. I could really say, remember all the songs? Remember all the testimonies and the prayers? That's it. That's what I want to share. I mean, every single one of them. Well, let's see. That's scriptures. And Tom promises. You know, the name of Jesus says it all. I've got to find which I think I printed. Here, you can hold this one too. Just, you know, okay. Thank you. Thank you for sitting there. We planned this out. She wasn't going to come today until I said I needed her. Oh, thank you. I love it. I love it. I don't know how come you named yourselves Life Ministries. I mean, I could assume lots of things. But it's such a powerful word. But one of my pet phrases that I have a love-hate relationship with is life happens. The Bible's full of telling us life happens. However, there's a scripture that is really, really good. The happening is the thief comes to rob and kill and destroy. That happens. But I have come that you may have life and that more abundantly. When Donnie and I were talking, I come up and I said that in all that's happened with me and many of you, I mean, Lord, I'm frankly tired of it. You know, and and truly, there is nothing I'm going to say today that shouldn't be familiar to you. But that's why I got the mirror. Really, I need it stirred up in me. I was a couple of weeks ago. I went to a conference in Rhode Island. And I was a speaker, and I was also the coordinator. I was in charge of the meeting. And life was happening at my house, and I didn't like a lot of it. And a friend of mine said, you know what, I think I'm supposed to go to that meeting with you. So we got a room for her, didn't have to pay for it, got her a plane ticket, had to pay for that, but it was really cheap. And so as the time came closer, I'm saying, God, I don't want to go. I do not want to go. I don't want to speak. I don't want to go. I don't want to get on the plane. I don't want to do anything but crawl in a hole. And I don't have to, because my friend is much more experienced at this than I am, and she'll do a good job. And if I don't even tell her I'm not going to show up, and she shows up, she'll just take charge. So I don't have to go do this. And I heard this: distractions, discouragement, disablement. I'm going, what? Distractions, discouragement, disablement. I said, what in the world is that? The enemy, if he cannot have our soul, when we become a believer, he was reminding me, the enemy wants to distract us and discourage us so we become disabled. We all love this, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, to do you good and not harm and give you a future and a hope that you'll be glad to have. Hello, dollar bill. What's it for? I know that. I know that, but sometimes, frankly, it just doesn't matter. I'm distracted and I'm discouraged and it's disabling me. So he pulled me up by my bootstraps and I looked him in the face and I said, okay, distracted, discouraged, and disabled. If I have to crawl on my belly, I will get on the plane and I will go. But when I get there and I open my mouth, you better fill it, because I ain't got nothing to give. There is nothing to... And every song you sang, every testimony given, everything that happened in this service. So I ask you to turn your spiritual ears on, because it isn't my words. It's what Holy Spirit brings to your ears for your life, to encourage you, to enable you to rise above the discouragement, the distraction. Those are the only weapons he has. You know, Donnie was saying, over several weeks we've had some things that have really been good and impacted me, but, you know, it's why? You did a sermon one time on being a four. I don't know, ages change, but when I was raising my kids, you hated the four-year-olds because it was why? Well, frankly, I think believers are stuck there. And what he said, if you're asking in faith, it brings revelation. But also, am I asking in trust? Okay, if I ask you, how many people trust God? Everybody's going to raise their hand. Hello, you better hold it halfway down. You know? And he tells us, I put my trust in you. What time I am afraid, I trust in you. That's an act. And that's, you know, when we ask why, if the only revelation we get is, Cheryl, distractions, discouragement, disablement. And I got to tell you, I've been through it with my dad. I'm through it with my mom, my son-in-law that just said, I don't want to be disabled. Do you want to live a life disabled? I do not. Whew. The thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But I came. Jesus came so that everyone would have life and have it to the fullest. And then I looked in Hebrews 12, too, and in the Amplified Version, and I'll share that later, it even says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. You know, here's the thing. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And we go, oh, yeah, woohoo, I like that. That's really great. That was a horrible journey. And I'm glad he made it so I don't have to. Troubles came. You know, we remember the feel-good gospel? And I liked it. It was a lie, but I liked it. Come to Jesus and everything will be great. And life will be perfect and you won't have any more. It's a lie. How do you know it's a lie? Because the Bible says, don't think it strange the fiery trials that come your way. That if we're going to share in his glory and his blessings, we're going to endure his sufferings. Now, I need the mirror, because I am telling you, Cheryl, don't forget it. Troubles come and troubles go, but they are nothing compared to the glory I prepared for you. They are nothing. Light and momentary afflictions. What if Paul had not endured his afflictions? All that time in prison, the beatings and everything else, we wouldn't even have all that stuff in the Bible that we have, that we love. That helps us along the way. And each of us are a living epistle. Our life shows the world Jesus. What Jesus do I want to show? Be real. How are you today? I'm really lousy. I feel like my throat's been cut and I'm bleeding out, and somebody goes, oh, uh-huh. Did you not hear me? And that's when we come alongside one another. You know, y'all did something for me. Talk about distractions and everything else. When I walked in here last week, some of you spoke to me and came up to me that have never initiated a hello to me. You came up to me and told me you're praying for me. Now, you may have been doing that, and you may have thoughts of me during the week, but you see, I didn't know that. I didn't even know you knew who I was. See, we need family. We need to help one another. When somebody says, how are you? Now, I mean, there's some people I'm not going to tell because they'll just come back and beat me over the head with it later. But you can say, yeah, I'm having a tough time. Pray for me. Having a tough time. Pray for me. But you helped me make a transition last week. That has gotten me through another very hard week. And your friend, oh my gosh, you know, I had a friend die. My son-in-law died. My daughter's best friend's mother died. I don't remember what all, but it wasn't pretty. I'm going, God, enough. So, do you want to live in the heavenlies? Or do you want to live on earth, in the natural? Now, we walk on the earth, but he says we are in the heavenlies with him, that we live in the spirit. Which life do you want? I want to live in the spirit. I want to live the spirit-filled life, the spirit-full life. I want to eat and breathe and sleep Jesus. I want to be Jesus to the world. Why are we here? Are you here like some of my years because I was taught to come to church on Sunday? Are we here because we're to assemble together so we can encourage one another? Church is the place to come in and be fed and filled up and encouraged by one another that we can go out and conquer the world for Jesus. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what I'm preaching to myself because even now I'm up here. And Donnie sent me a, are you going to do this tomorrow or something? I don't know how he said it. And I'm going, ooh, I can say no. And again, that whisper, distractions, discouragement, disablement. And I've got to tell you, this was hysterical because all week long, you know, I'm trying to get into this and everything, and among working and taking care of family and one crisis and blah, 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 and life happens. And so I'm talking to somebody on the phone. They said, well, I said, okay, you can laugh. I didn't laugh then. I'll laugh today. And I'm telling him, I said, what's going on? I said, I'm just so distracted. I go, oh, that's my sermon. You live what you teach. You experience what he's speaking to you so you can share it with others. The feel-good gospel is the truth. Not some fantasy, some fairy tale. Understand this, 2 Timothy 3:1, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. I don't know if you never get the why. Do you still choose Jesus? If we don't understand his timing, do we still choose Jesus? Nevertheless, Lord, I will go forward. You have set before me a joy. You have made a promise of my future in the earth and in the afterwards. It's not just, it's this side of heaven as well as the other. So what am I going to do with it? I am going forward for the joy set before me. I'm going to do it when they call and tell me my mother's sick and I'm in Zimbabwe, and I'm going to do it when I'm preaching in Washington State and they tell me my son's in an emergency hospital in West Virginia and they don't know what's wrong with him, and I'm going to do it when I get a phone call as I get ready to preach and my best friend has died. You see, distractions, discouragement, that's his weapons. I don't have answers, but I know the answer, Jesus. One answer. 2 Corinthians 4:8 and 9. We are oppressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. Now, I got to tell you, sometimes I feel that way. But he says, I'm not. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do. Okay, but we don't give up and quit. We're hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up and keep on going. John 16:33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. I thought you were going to read this one for a minute, but you read another one. It was good. 1 Peter 4, beloved, That means I'm special and I'm precious to him. Just like I might put my little baby in my arms. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. You see, it's the end game. It's about the end game. What football player? I can't imagine wanting to be a football player. And you go out there on that practice field and just wait for everybody to knock you around, knock you down. Really? I just can't wait to go out there and see who can knock me down. But they know the end game. They know what they're going for. They know the goal. They know the prize. And man, they are focused on it. Because I'm bigger and I'm tougher because of what's been put in me. The training, the practice. Than anything they can. Now, sometimes they're wrong. But in Jesus, we're never wrong. Because of what he's put in us. We can win. We can survive. We can continue the journey. You know, the interesting thing is, you'd think I wouldn't forget this. When I was getting ready for the road, months ago, ready for the Rhode Island trip, we made the dates, and I started saying, God, what are you doing? And I wasn't excited. How come we did this, you know? And but Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And what he said to me, and this is really great, you'd think I wouldn't have gotten distracted, discouraged, or anything else. He said, just because you're having that meeting, whether two people show up or 200, an explosion is going to happen that will rock that territory and blow open doors that have long been locked. Whew! Now, forge ahead, right? Rah, rah, rah. Oh, no, I didn't. You know, there I am, whining and crying. I don't want to go, and I don't have to go. There's somebody there that can do this for me. Do it for you. Do a better job. But you see, he didn't call them. He didn't appoint them for that time. He didn't appoint Donnie for this morning. Because if you believe God orders your steps, and it's written that he does, this morning is for what he's saying through me. And you're hearing from him. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Count it all joy. When Donnie and I were talking, and you've been hearing, you've had sermons over the last couple of months that have the last 2 to 3 months, they've just impacted me. It's the nuggets. It's the pressing on. It's, you don't have to have all the answers, but you just keep pressing on, you know. Ask all the questions you want, but let it bring revelation. And in the revelation, know this. What are you doing for Christ? What's your purpose? Now, there was a time in my life when my purpose was to raise my children. There was an age where that was what I focused on. That's what he called me to. And, of course, sometimes in those things we feel like, I'm not doing anything. Well, I don't know. Where are my children now? Don't quit praying, Connie, because some of them just need a little. But I've had two miracles with my oldest son. He's 50-something. I don't know, 51. 60. He's 51. When Fred died, my son-in-law, this would be the third Sunday, I was in Rhode Island. We had just dropped one of the speakers off at the airport. And we were pulling away because I wasn't leaving till the next day. And I get a phone call from my daughter, and she's hysterical. And I'm going, oh, dear God, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And she says, Mama, Fred died. Fred died. And I'm going, oh, my God, oh, my God. I'm hollering in the car. I've got to go home. I've got to go home. I've got to go home. I've got to, you know, I'm not making much sense. They lived close, thank God. So I went through my suitcase in the car, and within an hour, I was on a plane. So God worked all that out. But here's the deal. I called my son. I tried so many people, and some of the calls wouldn't even go through. It's not just that people didn't answer. I tried texting. I mean, I was saying, who can I get? My daughter needs somebody with her. What can I do? You know, so I call my son. And he went there. But he was working in Washington County, and Rita and Tyler will tell you there's a lot of dead zone in Washington County, Washington area, not county, whatever that, Washington, he was up there. And later, the miracle for me out of that was my son says out of his mouth, now he knows the Bible better than a lot of regular churchgoers, because I did raise him right. He says, I got to tell you, Mama, that was a miracle. I never have phone reception when I'm, he was working. When I'm working at that farm, he's trapping beavers or something. When I'm working there, I never have phone reception. I don't get texts. I don't get phone calls. So it's a miracle. It had to be God that I got your phone call. And not only that, I was able to call Melissa and Rachel. God's doing something. He gave God credit. So they were going on vacation. Seems like small things, but you see, it's in the small things. You take your encouragement where you can get it. God will show you he's working. And I'm expecting to see Drew. I've never been there, but I saw a movement that he hadn't done before. So I'm zoning in on that. So he calls me yesterday, yada, yada. They were supposed to go to Orlando. And I said, well, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to the grocery. And I'm thinking, I thought they were staying in a resort or something. I said, well, why? I said, I thought you were in Orlando at a... He said, oh, no, no, no. See, his dad died about 6 months ago. And they have a cabin at Bradenton that supposedly was going to be left to them. But, you know, people don't do things. So if you haven't got things in order, get your house in order. Just saying. But he said, we're in Bradenton. I said, you are? He said, yeah. His stepmother called him and said, what are you doing today? Blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, we're on our way to Orlando for vacation. And she said, Orlando, why don't you go to the cabin? But because of things not being set up, he didn't want to ask her. He didn't want to bring that up and impose on her. But he says to me, well, that's the story, but here's the thing that mattered. He says, Mom, it had to be a godsend. I really couldn't afford this vacation, but my wife wanted to go. So God showed him and saying, show my son yourself. Show him that you care about his life. Do it in such a way that he can't miss it. And out of his own mouth, it happens. That's just a side story. Big one, good one. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. You know, I don't like the word test. I didn't like them in school. I don't like it now. But God gave me an example, analogy, whatever you call it. And it was this. I saw a weightlifter. And his goal was to be a strong man and lift, 500 pounds, whatever they do. A lot more than I ever want to lift. But how does he start out? He starts out by testing his strength. 5 pounds. Oh, that's pretty easy now. Let me see and test. Let me see if I've gained enough. He's testing the level of his strength. And pretty soon. See, it's not a pass or fail test. God's testing is to prove that through Christ we can do all things. God's test is to show us we cannot fail. So when testing and trials come, Lord, Cheryl, remember that. Do not let the devil distract, discourage, and disable you. Some years back, I missed an opportunity because, whatever reason, distracted, to speak a word to somebody about Jesus. And to this day, now let me tell you, I knew that I should have years ago. Not quite as bold then as I am now. And just let me tell you, I may look bold, but I just do it afraid. Because I promise you, you tremble. Okay? A person died. I don't know whether anybody ever shared Jesus with him. But I had my opportunity, and I did not. My hope is that the life I live before them spoke Jesus to them. And finally, God said to me, well, Cheryl, you missed that opportunity. So hopefully, you won't be silent again when I give you a chance. But don't worry about it. I love them. And I made sure that somebody else came alongside. Because God's purpose is for not one to be lost. He said, so pick yourself up. Stop kicking yourself. And get on with the journey. Get on with the journey. The bottom line to life is, do you trust me? That's the bottom line. The only answer. The only answer is the question. Do you trust me? And he commands, put your trust in me. Psalms 31:14, but I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God. I don't always feel like it. But then he gives us a command, and he gives us direction. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, just like putting eggs in a basket, just like putting my baby in the bed. It's an act, it's a volitional act. I can put my trust in him, and I can say, I am spirit ruled, not emotion ruled, and emotions, you be quiet, because my God reigns. And I will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. The only thing we have is his living word, the blood, and the name of Jesus. We are pressed on every side by troubles. But we get up and keep on going. Troubles come and troubles go. But these afflictions are nothing compared to the glory set before you. Do you want to live in the mundane? Do you want to live in the what's the purpose of life? Or do you want to live in the glory? Do you want to live in the dynamic, explosive spirit of the living God? That spirit in you that wants to stir you up and send you out. Every day you are sent out. Every day I am sent out. By the way I behave, I can impact somebody's life, by the kindness I show, and sometimes by a direct word, by my prayers. What's your problem? Connie came up to me today. And said, well, Connie usually speaks to me, but she come up to me today, and she goes, and I'm like going, huh? She come up, she threw her arms, I've been praying for you. We have no clue who prays for us. Conversely, the things we do, we have no clue how we're impacting another's life. Be Jesus. We have an abundant life to live. A destiny. And a purpose ordained by the King of Kings. And let me tell you, the mistakes you make, yeah, they weren't okay. I mean, some of my, they weren't okay at all. But he says, I will use them for my glory. I can speak to somebody divorced because I know what it means to be comforted by him in that sadness. I can speak to somebody about death and about their loss because I'm dealing with a tragedy with my grandchildren. Do I like it? No, but life happens. Life happens. A thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But life, I came so that everyone would have life and abundantly. So keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, our life, our hope, and for the joy set before us.
Let's stand. I just think we need to make that declaration this morning that we choose life. Okay? I choose life. Let's just say it. I choose life. The abundant life that God has for us. That's what we want. And so, Father, this morning, we choose life. And, Father, we thank you that even in the midst of the trials and things that come, Lord, that we choose life. We know that you're in control. We know that you will take what was meant for evil and turn it into good. We know that you will take each test, each thing that comes along, Lord, and help us to know that we've come either a step further or a step closer or a step deeper or however you want to describe it. But, God, this walk is about you. This walk is about us reflecting you, being your light to this world. And so, Father, help us to do that with joy. Just the scripture that she said about Jesus saying that he endured the cross for the joy set before him. And, Lord, help us find that joy. Help us find that joy. Help us realize it's bigger than the moment. It's bigger than the moment. And so, Lord, I just thank you for Cheryl's word this morning. I thank you for your word through Cheryl to us this morning, Lord. And, Father, that you encourage us to continue to press, to press, to press on to what you have for us. So, Lord, we bless you today, and we thank you. And, Lord, I speak a blessing over this crew in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.